The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 12th chapter. As Jesus taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had. All she had to live on." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Like I said to the kids, I've spent this entire week thinking about these words about scribes. Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation. It's hard to read that when you know you'll be wearing a long robe and saying long prayers on Sunday. Pastors are often greeted with respect in the marketplaces. When I'm out in High Point grocery shopping at Harris Teeter, and if I have my collar on, people are much kinder to me. They give me space. They let me go ahead of them. I'm wearing my collar. Same grocery store. The next day, the same mundane task of shopping, same smiles and expressions on my face, different behavior. The respect and the deference that I receive when I'm wearing just this little white tab of a collar is remarkable. Pastors are often invited to go first in the potluck line. It's a high honor, right? And when we have a plate brimming with food and we're wondering where we should sit, many people are waving, "Come, sit with us." It's a seat of honor and a place of honor at a banquet. When Jesus says that those long robe wearing, long prayer saying, honor receiving scribes devour widows' houses, I know what he's saying. The scribes' paychecks depend upon the generosity of the members of their synagogue. They live well with clean robes and full bellies at the expense of widows and other poor people. And I cannot deny the parallel in my life that my paycheck depends on your generosity. I can't read this text without knowing that. It's not really a comfortable place to be, and frankly, it should not be comfortable. It should make me itch a little and make sure that I'm very careful with my time and my energy and my work. So what is Jesus trying to say here? I mean, I've always read this text to be a financial stewardship text. It's a stewardship text. It's about trusting God with everything you have, right? Your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, and your checkbook. But I have to confess, I have always thought it was a little bit ridiculous. I mean, if you look at it logically, if she really has given away everything she has, then tomorrow she's going to be back to get some help paying her light bill. I've always wondered about this text. And I believe that one of the ways God provides for me is a means of making a living, an income. So if I worked here for a month, and that money was deposited in my checking account like it always is, and I wrote a check for that full amount to Emmanuel Lutheran Church, every month, I'd be back here asking you to help me pay my mortgage. I don't quite understand I understand the trust issue, but I don't understand that this is a practical way of life. That the application, I guess, for my life. So this week, I read an article by David Lowes, who's a professor at Luther. Actually, I think he's at Gettysburg now. He asked me, his reader, to find the word of praise for the woman in the story. What words does Jesus actually use to praise this woman's act of giving everything? So I went back to it. I went back to the actual text, and he says, she has put in more than the wealthy have because she's given a greater percentage. He says, out of her poverty, she gave a lot and the wealthy have given little. But he doesn't say this is a great thing. He just says, that's what happened. I sat across from the treasury, I'm looking, and this is what happens. And right before this, he has said those long robe-wearing, long good seat-getting scribes, they devour widows' houses. They hammer down the law. They rake in the money, and they build ornate synagogues, and they buy themselves new robes and build bigger houses and have full tummies on the backs of widows and other poor people. Then he sees it happening at the treasury, and he points it out. And the very next verse after this, in the beginning of chapter 13, one of his disciples is marveling at the temple and saying, what a beautiful building it is. And he says, all of this, it will be torn down. Not one stone will be left upon the other stone. It seems as though our Jesus is teaching us to be very careful of where we rest our value. Is the temple the great value, or is the widow's life, livelihood, the great value? Do we work in the church to rake in the money on the backs of those who don't have enough to share, but share it anyway because we guilt them into it? I think that's a very interesting question from our Christ today. So, then what's the good news? Where do we see God in all of this? Is God shaking his finger at us and shaming us, judging us for our misplaced priorities, perhaps? I know I need to be reminded of the ways that I spend my money and the priorities I place on my life. And that's what the law is for. The law is to show us our sin and drive us back to Christ. But I think there's some very powerful good news for us in this text, because Jesus is God. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is God enfleshed. Jesus is God revealed to us in a way that we can understand. The unlimited God showing up in a limited fashion so we limited folk can make a little bit of sense out of it. So we listen to him and we watch him to understand who God is. And here, in this story, God in Jesus, enfleshed in Jesus, God sees the widow make her offering. God, enfleshed in Jesus, is watching, maybe with a sigh, watching her reach into her pocket and make a great sacrifice. And God, enfleshed in Jesus, really sees what's actually happening here in the temple. The scribes, the important religious people with the long flowing robes, that's who the world, would expect God to notice. But God is so consistent. God has said time and time again that God is with those who suffer. And in the person of Jesus, God's gaze and presence are always with the oppressed. And we are coming close to Advent. We will gather every Wednesday evening during Advent and pray the Holden Evening Prayer Liturgy. And every week, Mary will sing of our God, who has cast the mighty down from their thrones and uplifted the humble of heart. This is our God, watching, paying attention, noticing, being present, being close. And that is really good news. Amen.